Our colleague Robert Siegel is in the Middle East this week. He's working on a special series of reports from the region, and he joins us now.
Thanks, Melissa. And today our focus is Egypt. President Bush, in his State of the Union address, singled out Egypt, along with Saudi Arabia, on the subject of political reform. The president said Egypt can now show the way towards democracy in the Middle East. Well, 10 days later, it showed something very different. Egyptian authorities arrested the leader of a liberal opposition political party. When officials and analysts in Cairo talk about Egypt's relationship with the U.S., they say this: sure, the U.S. may want democratic reform, but it has bigger strategic goals in the region, goals that Egypt supports: the development of Iraq, peace between Israel and the Palestinians. As NPR's Peter Kenyon reports, the Egyptians figure those interests will outweigh Washington's concerns about democracy.
It wasn't the first time President Bush has called on Egypt to open up its tightly controlled political system, but the decision to elevate the call to the State of the Union address was noticed in Cairo. So when Egypt abruptly arrested liberal political leader Ayman Nour, reform advocates waited to see how Washington would react. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said she raised the administration's very strong concerns about the Nour arrest with Egyptian Foreign Minister Ahmed Abu Ghraib. But when he addressed reporters in Washington, the foreign minister ignored the Nour case and argued that Egypt's ruling party wants reform too.
Nowadays, there is deep discussions taking place in the Egyptian society, media, press. It's full of deliberations of, is it wise to open up the Egyptian constitution for amendment? And I see it a very healthy debate, hundreds of pages a day. And people in the streets and demonstrating, and it is a very vibrant society because it has been a society in modernity for the last 200 years.
So far, Egyptian analysts haven't changed their view that U.S. criticism of the Nour arrest is a minor bump in a generally stable strategic relationship. Professor Mohamed Kamal, a member of the ruling National Democratic Party's policy committee, says there's a growing consensus in Egypt for reform, but strong resentment against perceived pressure from the White House. He says just as Egypt needs American aid and support, Washington needs Mideast allies right now, and Egypt is high on that list.
The U.S. actually doesn't have a lot of credibility in this part of the world. So it needs its regional friends, you know, a unilateral policy towards Iraq or Palestine will not work, will not achieve U.S. goals. In Iraq, Egypt has helped gain an Arab recognition of this interim government through the Arab League.
In addition, Mubarak just got through hosting the latest Israeli-Palestinian summit at Sharm el-Sheikh. Those are Egypt's latest contributions to a relationship that has endured since 1973, the last of four times Egypt went to war with Israel, America's number one Mideast ally. Egypt eventually became the first Arab state to sign a peace treaty with Israel, although relations between the two countries have never been warm. In the 1980s, Cairo lined up with Washington in support of Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein and his war against the Islamist government of Iran. In the early 90s, both countries abandoned Saddam when he invaded Kuwait. Egypt has also conducted joint military exercises and maintained strategic sea lanes, including the Suez Canal, to the benefit of the West. In return, Washington has poured billions of dollars into Egypt, which is second only to Israel as recipient of American foreign aid. Analysts say the U.S. has also largely ignored Egypt's reluctance to enact political reforms. Mubarak is expected to seek a fifth term this year by a yes or no referendum, not a contested election. Abdulmonem Said at the Al-Aram Center for Strategic and Political Studies doesn't expect Egypt to make the constitutional changes necessary for a multi-candidate election before September's presidential vote. He says that will irritate Washington.
I think it will be some strain. I think some people in Washington won't like it. There will be articles. Many in Egypt won't like it. But also we should not forget that the two countries have learned to live with differences and sometimes even serious differences.
Former Egyptian ambassador to the U.S. Abdel Raouf El-Ridi says Washington can do the most good by leaving the timing of reform to the Egyptians and focusing on the more urgent matters of rebuilding Iraq and resolving the Israeli-Palestinian question. Ridi says the U.S. will never be taken seriously on the Egyptian street as a voice of reform as long as the military occupations in Iraq and Palestine continue.
You have to notice the connection between American military engagement and active Israeli military engagement, because both of them are seen by many in the Arab and Muslim world as one phenomenon.
Some Egyptian reformers concede that the Bush administration's embrace is not necessarily helpful, but they say they're more worried that the Mubarak regime will succeed in deflecting Washington's attention away from reform yet again. Peter Kenyon, NPR News.